next on BYUSN, Yegor Demin jumped up in updated NBA mock drafts after day one of the NBA Combine and the NBA Lottery. Why did his stock improve overnight? Yesterday, Shahan Jeyaraja said he picked BYU football to win the Big 12 this season. Where do we have BYU landing in our own Big 12 preseason polls? Former BYU and NFL wide receiver Austin Colley joins the show. Does he think BYU football is a better team this year? And does he expect 1,000 yards receiving from Chase Roberts? And based on how the NBA lottery went last night, oh my goodness, what is the most rigged moment in BYU sports history?
Is it really rigged?
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Happy Tuesday, May 13th. I am Spencer Linton, alongside a man who always appreciates a good fit check, Jason Shepherd.
It's, to answer your question, by the way, it's not rigged, but it's really, really
it's
hard.
It's way more fun to think about it that way.
Yeah, it's not. We know it's not, but the anger in us wants us to think that it's rigged. But look, it was fun yesterday. There were a couple of fun things before it all crashed down around
me.
And that was to see Yegor Demin at the NBA Lottery. Obviously, he's at the Combine in Chicago.
The silver lining.
Yeah, so you got to see Yegor at the NBA Draft Lottery, and then some of these pictures getting dressed in the hotel room, looking nice in the outfit. Had the BYU chain going on.
Oh, yeah.
Hanging out there with Ryan Smith and some of the crew.
I appreciated the commentary on Yegor's Instagram site and his profile, specifically from Delaney Gibb, who said, "I love this content king era." Apparently, Yegor's in a content king era.
Hey, look, there's nothing wrong with seeing more Yegor at the NBA Draft Combine.
So one BYU point guard moving on to the NBA, obviously speaking of Yegor. The other BYU point guard, the next man in line, Rob Wright III, officially in Provo. This courtesy of his social media profiles, at Robert Wright, the I with a one, of course. He says he's on location, ready to rock, Jason. New age of BYU basketball.
He's on the ground in Provo. And honestly, this is now the time where we're going to start seeing all these guys. A lot of them have already been here. But now some of the, like, for his situation where he was trying to finish up at Baylor, now he starts to come in. Now you're going to start seeing some of these videos coming out from practices and summer workouts. It's here.
It's an exciting time.
Yes.
Also, I dubbed him R-Dub-3. You cool with that?
I'm fine with that.
R-Dub-3?
Sure.
There's an RG-3, now there's an R-Dub-3.
Yeah, I'm fine with
both
that.
Both have Baylor ties, fittingly enough. On that note, time to rise and shout. Much to discuss in what's trending. Yegor Demin. I want him to be a lottery pick, one, because I feel like he deserves it, and I believe like his upside also is worthy of a lottery pick selection.
And now it's which team needs Yegor the most?
I want the lottery, Dave. I want it all. Who doesn't want it all? What's Trending, presented by Tim Daly Ford, part of the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968. Yesterday marked the official measurement day at the NBA Draft Combine in Chicago. And for those wondering, here are Yegor Demin's official NBA Combine measurements. Standing at 6 feet, 8 inches and a quarter, barefoot, 199.2 pounds, with a 6 foot 10 and a quarter inch wingspan and an 8 foot 9.5 inch standing reach. That is professional length. They also added, from Jonathan Givony, the Russian point guard measured a little taller than expected. A little taller is never a bad thing.
Especially for a point guard.
Right? As mentioned, it was also the NBA draft lottery last night. Sorry, Shep.
Yeah.
Dave McCann said you were on an 8-day fast. I hope you're feeling better. I hope you ate.
Trust me, I ate. It was some some depression eating.
Multiple notable publications have updated their mock drafts based on what happened with the lottery reveal last night, and Yegor Demin's prospects are better. CBS Sports has him going number 10 to the Houston Rockets. ESPN at number 12 to the Chicago Bulls. Yahoo Sports at 14 to San Antonio. I know you love those Spurs, Jason.
Yeah, I'm so happy for their success and luck.
USA Today, 15 to Oklahoma City. Wouldn't hate that. Sports Illustrated at 17 to Minnesota, and The Athletic still has Demon going 18 to the Washington Wizards. I don't like that. Okay, so it seems like, for the most part, his projections improved literally overnight. Yeah. Why, Jason?
Well, and it goes back to what we started the segment off with, talking about the measurements. And look, I think sometimes, okay, not sometimes, most times in all of these drafts, whether it's the NBA, whether it's the NFL, I think the measurables get blown way out of proportion, especially if you don't meet the measurables, you're immediately cast off. I think that's ridiculous. But for a situation like this, where, as you saw from Jonathan Givony, talking about the fact that Yegor actually measured a little taller than expected, barefoot, I think his measurables impressed people enough.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
That something like that.
Yes.
It bumps you up?
Well, look, how today, and I know we're not an NBA show, but after the measurables came out yesterday, everybody was talking about how disappointing it was for Ace Bailey of Rutgers, because Ace Bailey is listed at 6'10 in college. Well, I think in his bare feet, he measured just a little over 6'7.
That's a 2.5-inch drop.
And so that was a knock on him. So for Yegor to be able to measure close to what he's listed at 6'9, barefoot, but to also be a little taller than what they thought. And his wingspan, we know how long his wingspan is.
Yes, he has almost a 7-foot wingspan.
But you look at all of these mocks, to your point, we've been doing this over the last couple of weeks. And for a while, you started to see Yegor, the certainly late lottery, but late teens is where he had kind of settled in a lot of these mock drafts over the last couple of weeks. What we saw at the combine with his measurables, and then what he showed on film throughout the year, and especially towards the end of the year in the NCAA tournament, that's why you're starting to see some of these teams that that are now looking at him. And let's be honest, some of these teams are a little different than what we thought they were going to be because of the way that the lotteries panned out last night.
Holy cow. I am now leaning more favorably toward Yegor being taken as a lottery pick.
I agree with you.
Now, if he drops out and happens to go number 15 to the Thunder, that wouldn't be the worst thing ever. The Thunder?
They know
the best team in the West. They know how to, develop young talent.
Yeah.
That would be a great landing spot. But I do feel like he's going to show out in the combine. He said, I'm going to show up and prove that I am a much better shooter than people think I am. Once again, baseline right now is people don't think he's a great shooter, and these are the projections. These are the projections.
Yeah.
So if he's better, Jason, why not be a lottery pick?
That's why the one-on-one workouts and the groups, whoever, and I would love to know who they're going to match him up with other workouts going on at the same time. I would love to know what those matchups are.
Cannot wait to find out what Yegor does. All eyes on the combine as far as the NBA world goes. When it's not an actual playoff game, it's the combine, and there will be plenty of commentary on one of the more polarizing players in the draft. You and I believe that NBA executives will reach for just size, and they will reach for international players who have a high ceiling.
Look, and they will reach. They can reach, and if one of the things that he has going from speaking of Yegor is character. His character and personality will also be something that GMs and team owners and certainly fan bases will gravitate towards.
You're not going to have to worry about
yes,
Yegor.
Yes, 100%. That unfortunately is probably lower on the list of things to pay attention to, but it's still part of the overall thing.
Doesn't hurt his profile.
It does not hurt. And if you've got a couple of guys that are in that same area and production's around the same, size is around the same, but you look at Yegor's personality and his character and what he's going to bring or maybe not bring to the table, maybe that pushes him over the edge. And I think that absolutely could be the case.
Unlike the NBA draft lottery, Jason hoping that the actual NBA lottery is a good thing for Yegor Demon. Okay, not just the picks, but the actual players going to teams.
June 25th is the lottery, is the NBA draft.
Let's go.
All right, moving on. Yesterday on the program, CBS Sports' Shahan Jayaraja joined the show with you and Dave and discussed where he thinks BYU football stands among teams in the Big 12.
have them in the top three potentially. I went on a radio interview last week and I did pick them at least right now to win the Big 12, but Arizona State's going to be there. Texas Tech is going to be there. Baylor's going to be there. There's some other teams that could get into that conversation, but they absolutely are part of that top group. You know, again, look, we have another month before we have to cast our ballot for preseason Big 12 poll, but BYU will be one of my contenders to be my number one team in the conference.
I like that.
Yes, I definitely like hearing that. And look, that's not crazy. That is not, it's not like just sort of catering to the BYU fans because he was on this show. That's a legit situation that's going to play out over the next week, couple of weeks until we get the actual preseason poll.
He feels like they're the most underrated team in college football, not just in the Big 12, in the entire country, speaking of BYU. Interesting stuff. But what will BYU show up as in the Big 12 preseason?
Okay, so you and I have actually done our own preseason polls. This is scientific. We put in the formulas, the algorithms, in order to come up with this morning. Yes. Should we look at yours first?
Please, let's do it. The Spencer algorithm at play, whatever the heck that means. Listen, I'm going to give the two teams that were in the Big 12 championship their flowers. Arizona State, popular pick to win the Big 12 because of what they do and who they bring back. Even though they lose Cam Scadaboo, you bring back your quarterback, one of the best receivers in the entire conference, and a winning culture. Iowa State, I feel like, is not going to show up as number two for most pollsters, but I think that they are an underrated team in the Big 12 as well. They bring back their quarterback in Rocco Becht, and they're a tough-minded group. So they get their flowers at one and two. Baylor at number three. They are an interesting group. They have revamped the coaching staff. They figured some things out late last year, Jason. And then BYU at number four. I believe that BYU is in that number one tier. And by tiers, I mean four, 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 and four. Okay, so they're tier one for me. But at the bottom of that, and I hope BYU shows up there because it will motivate them. It will motivate them. BYU could be as high as number two or number three. I put him at number four, frankly, because I want them to see a screen. If they see a screenshot of this, I'm like, ha, we're going to win the Big 12. After the Cougars, Texas Tech has spent a ton of money to revamp their roster.
Yes, they have.
They could be scary. Kansas State at six, TCU seven, Utah eight. And then you see the back nine. The Jayhawks of Kansas are always a wild card for me. No Travis Hunter, no Shedeur Sanders for Colorado there at 10, and then the remainder of the group, UCF and Houston, round out the bottom of that. I think BYU would be in a comfortable position at number four, enough to motivate them and just to irk them enough to go out and try and prove something significant. Maybe I have them too low, but again, this is my algorithm.
Okay.
This is what I want. How different is your preseason poll compared to mine?
It's different. It's more different than I expected it to be. I have Arizona State number one. And again, with what they did and losing Scadaboo, that's a big, big deal. I think they're going to feel that more than they think they're going to feel it.
Sure.
But they've just got so much with Leavitt coming back.
Sam Leavitt is a really solid quarterback.
Look, and because of what they did last year, I'm willing to give them the number one spot. Mm-hmm. I think BYU is number two in this conference. Okay. And look, maybe it's a homer pick, but I don't think I'm that far off to put them second overall.
All right.
I understand Iowa State in some people's minds may be number two. But for me, I had Iowa. Look, Rocco Becht is fantastic. He's back. I agree with you. It's a tough-minded team. It's hard to win in Ames.
BYU has to play in Ames.
But I took into account, like, yeah, but they lost their two main receivers. They lost some talent.
Fair.
But I still go with them at number three. I thought about putting Texas Tech ahead of Iowa State simply because of the amount of money that they have put into NIL. But I remember, I hearkened back to what A-Rod said 2 years ago, or now it's almost three. I guess it's still 2 years ago, where we probably went too far into the transfer portal.
And too many new pieces.
There were too many new pieces, and I wonder if that may, even though they're high-level pieces for Texas Tech, I wonder if it's going to take them a little more time than they expect. So that's why I have them fourth.
Barrett Morton's good quarterback.
Absolutely, 100%. Okay. Kansas State I have fifth. Baylor sixth. I am higher on Kansas than a lot of people. I understand they lost Devin Neal So you don't have your running back.
Jalen Daniels is back for a 12th year.
Yeah, he's back. I have a lot of confidence in Lance Leipold as a head coach and on the offensive side of the ball.
Yep.
So I'm higher on Kansas than others. So I have Kansas 7th, Utah coming in at number 8, TCU 9th, and then honestly, Colorado 10th, and you and I had Colorado.
Exact same spot.
Yeah, exact same spot. Same spot for Oklahoma State at 11th. This is where we kind of differ a little bit. Mm-hmm. I've got Houston a little higher. I think they sort of tapped into something.
You like Willie Fritz. You like Coach Fritz in year two.
Maybe it was just their win over Utah that impressed me. So I'm giving
you're rewarding them.
You beat Utah.
You're number 12.
No, I liked what they were doing towards the end of the year, and if it just so happened that they beat Utah towards the end of the season, so be it.
Okay.
But the last four I think are somewhat interchangeable. Ultimately I had UCF last. So there are differences, but there are themes that are similar between ours.
Only two major differences I saw. I think Baylor is really good.
Yeah, you're higher on Baylor than I am, yes, and I'm higher on Kansas.
I have Baylor at number 3. You have Baylor at number 6. Kansas, you and I are similar. You're at 7. I'm at 9. Okay, so round middle of the pack. And Houston is the other big difference.
Right.
I think I had Houston 15, and you got Houston up at 12, but pretty similar. I cannot wait for that preseason poll to be released. It is weirdly one of the polls that I look forward to the most. Maybe it's because BYU wasn't in a conference for so long in football. So to have that context going into the season, really fun. And then to see how wildly wrong everybody in the media is, especially last year with Arizona State being picked dead last and winning it. Has that ever happened, by the way, where a team is picked 16th and they win the conference? That had to be the first time ever, right?
Yeah, if it's happened before, I don't remember it.
That is insane. All right, Jason's got BYU at number 2. I've got the Cougars at number 4. Our question of the day is this. Where would you pick BYU football to finish in your own version of a Big 12 football preseason poll? At Cheester underscore 10 on X says, I would expect BYU would be underrated as always, so I'd say they'd be ranked 4th. You're with me, Cheester. But where they're ranked doesn't matter much because I've got my blue goggles on and BYU's going to make it to the Big 12 championship game. Hashtag go Cougs.
I like that. This one on X from Sammy J. Dot. I would have them around 3rd.
Okay.
I don't want to be overconfident, but 3rd puts us in a great spot to compete for a conference championship.
I like the idea of BYU just, if they shut up 5th, awesome. I don't think that's going to happen.
No, I would be, honestly, if they showed up 5th, I would be shocked.
I think it's probably going to be 3 or 4.
Yeah. I think you're probably right. It'll probably end up being 3rd or 4th.
Would you like number 2? Like, let's say it showed up as is and you saw BYU at number 2. Would you like that actual result?
Well, yeah, because I picked 2nd. So it would validate what I said. So of course
I would. Validation.
But no, look, honestly, 2, 3, 4, that's kind of where they're going to land. And they should land. They've earned that right.
Great stuff from Shahan J. Araja yesterday, talking about, yes, his early preseason poll favorite, BYU. He said, at least now, like right now, they're my pick. We'll see what happens. But he also has high praise, not shockingly, for one specific BYU football player, LJ Martin. Listen to this.
This is a team that returns a lot of its offense. I actually put together a list of, out of our top 25 teams, kind of top Heisman contenders. Like, I think that LJ Martin is one of the best running backs in the country that nobody is talking about. Somebody who, when he's on the field, I think is as good as anybody.
Jason, expectations on the table for specifically LJ Martin. What do you have him tabbed to do in the 2025 season?
Well, my first expectation is that he is healthy. And stays healthy. The last 2 years, he's played 10 games.
Yeah.
Started.
And frankly, some of those, he wasn't close to
100%. I agree with that 100%. So hoping that he's going to be, speaking of 100%, 100% all year long. And look what he did in the 10 games last year, 8 starts, over 700 yards rushing. My expectation, I have high expectation for LJ. I think he's fantastic. So my expectations are 1,000-yard rusher.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And honestly, you take the numbers that he had last year. Look, you have 718 there. Rushing touchdowns right now, I'm not willing to give a, a, a number of touchdowns right now, because I think that BYU is going to spread the ball around. So I don't want to put a number on it, because I don't know if that will really tell you the story about LJ Martin, but his yards will. So you look at the 718 and then the number of games he played. If he plays a full season, I think he's right around that 1,000 yards. So I think an expectation for him absolutely is a 1,000-yard rusher.
If, and I know this is a big if based on what you just brought up, because LJ has not been able to stay on the field at close to 100% for the majority of the season. If he plays 10 games fully healthy, mm-hmm. 10 games fully healthy.
So you don't even think he needs to play every game.
That gives him, BYU's going to be in a bowl game. Like, they will play in a bowl game. They'll play 13. If he can just be healthy in 10 of those, mm-hmm. Jason, he'll be a 1,000-yard rusher. He'll be 1,000. He will average in those games that he is healthy. He will average 100 yards a game. I do not think that is crazy. I think BYU's offensive line is poised to be almost as good as they were last year. Early on, it's going to be tough because you have to it'll be different.
Yeah.
There are a bunch of new moving pieces, and we did learn that Gentry is going to be the starting right tackle, by the way, and Isaiah Jott is going to be the starting left tackle. So we were wondering about that. Those two guys do bring back experience. Gentry is a transfer. There's a couple of other new pieces there. They'll get it going by the end of the season, midway point. And if LJ Martin's healthy, man, I like him to be a 1,000-yard rusher. I think that is it's something that BYU needs and has not had for a long time. Like, when was the last time BYU had a 1,000-yard rusher?
It's been a while. It has been a while.
It was Tyler Allgeier.
Yeah.
Listen, Tyler Allgeier has been in the NFL for 4 years. Let's go.
That's right.
Right? BYU is too good on the offensive line position to not have a 1,000-yard rusher at least every other year. They're too good. Like, they can do that.
All right, how about we book in trending with some NBA talk here?
Okay.
All right, based on how the NBA lottery went last night,
yep.
What is the most rigged moment or conspiracy theory in BYU sports history?
Well, I know what San Diego State fans would say. Point to Replay Gate back in 2010. But we're going BYU positive here. I can't. My immediate thought, and I said this on the phone call this morning, my immediate thought was Brandon Bradley's knee was down against Utah also in 2010. The ball was intercepted. His knee was down. This game's over. BYU's going to win this game. He's down. Get in, Brandon! Ball gets ripped out with his knee on the turf. They give the ball back to Utah. Somehow they review this and say that it's Utah ball, and BYU loses the game. Like, was it rigged? No, but it certainly feels like it.
Yeah, you and I were on the same page, and I thought, well, we can't both have the same one, but I'm like, no. If it's that obvious, I'm going with it as well.
Yeah.
Because I told you, first thing I thought of was that same play. Because there's no way in the world that if you actually look at it, you can say anything other than his knee was down. So what's the alternative? If the video proof shows you beyond a shadow of a doubt that his knee was down and they don't change it, mm-hmm. and I understand you don't have the challenges like you have now and you don't have the replay system like you have now. I get it. But it's garbage.
If there was a rigged moment from last season, I'm sure BYU fans would point to something that happened in the Arizona State game at the end.
It's a lot to choose from.
Something at the end. Some other notables, by the way. UCF 2014, Jordan Leslie pass interference in the end zone in overtime. What a bunch of garbage that was. And, of course, the UTEP game in 1985. Jason, how does that UTEP team who won one game beat a nationally ranked team in BYU if they're not on the headsets listening to play calls? Was that an actual rigged moment?
Ooh, another team from Texas. Mm. Is that what you're saying after last night? Another team from Texas. All right, moving on. It's not rigged, of course.
Oh, Shep, I know you love the Mavs.
All right.
So much.
Oh, boy. I'm just so happy for their luck. BYU baseball will look to even the season series against Utah tonight at Miller Park in a non-conference matchup. That's right, not counting towards Big 12 standings. Coverage begins at 8 Eastern on both BYU Radio and ESPN+.
After the break, former BYU and NFL wide receiver Austin Colley is back on the program. Does he think that this year's BYU football team is better than the team that went 11-2 last year? This is BYU Sports Nation.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968.
Cougs are still America's most underrated team.
The truth is, we're just going to keep doing what we do. I'm not focused on the end result.
Guys are moving faster. Guys are jumping higher. Guys are making better plays.
Touchdown, Jake Retzlaff.
Making sure our guys work hard, and then the results should work out in our favor.
We are live at Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton. That is Jason Shepherd. Joining us now, former BYU and NFL wide receiver and BYU TV football analyst, the great Austin Colley, back on the show to discuss BYU in the Big 12 in their third year of Power 4 football and that wide receiver core. Austin, good morning to you, sir. How are you?
What's up, guys? How are we doing?
Just fabulous.
We're doing fantastic. We're talking about things being rigged. We're enjoying all of the fun stuff that's going on in the world of sports today.
Jason's still a little spited about what happened with the Jazz and the NBA draft lottery last night. But again, positive vibes because we're talking football, bro. And we just released our Big 12 preseason polls, the Jason poll, the Spencer poll. Jason's got BYU number 2. I've got BYU number 4. Where would you put BYU if you had a vote in the Big 12 preseason poll?
Oh, man. I think number four is about right, man. I think you don't want to put them too high. You put them too high, you put too much pressure on them. But I think number four is a pretty darn good spot. I do love the fact that, the guys that we do have returning made such an impact last year, and just coming off the season that they had, I can't imagine that their confidence just won't be through the roof. And once you get a team that, prides himself on work ethic and putting in the time, once you get them, getting a little bit of confidence, they could get scary.
Austin, when you look at this team, and obviously we all expect them and will be absolutely shocked if they're not ranked higher than they were last year. I mean, it's a given that they will be. So obviously we know that's going to happen. But when you look at the players that they've lost, the players that have come in, do you think this is a better team this year than the one we saw last year, which was pretty darn good?
Yeah, I think so. I think there's going to be holes to fill. Don't get me wrong. Like losing Tyler Batty, I think that's going to be a huge, huge gaping hole that we're going to have to fill just because of his presence, right? Take away his talent, his presence alone and his, screw loose mentality that he had, I feel like that fueled part of the defense and what is what made them super successful. But losing Jacob Robinson, I think on the back end is going to be huge, being able to fill that gap there. But I think this is going to be a better team. I think offensively they're going to be more dangerous than they were last year. I think Jake is set up to have a great season. Like I said, I've said this time and time again, you get somebody like Jake who's kind of had a chip on his shoulder his whole life. You give him just a little bit of like that notoriety, that spotlight, that validation that he is so deserving of. His confidence is going to be, through the roof, and his level of play is only going to get that much better.
We talked about where Jake Retzlaff fits among all Big 12 quarterbacks. One writer, John Wilner of the San Jose Mercury News, put Retzlaff as the 6th best quarterback in the Big 12. In general, Austin, do you feel like he is underrated as a college football quarterback?
Yeah, and I think he'll always be underrated, right? Like, I think being a JUCO player and having to work your way up, I don't think you shake that no matter how well you play. And don't get me wrong, there was games that Jake, struggled and kind of got bailed out in some certain situations. But, I think this year, the quarterback position comes down to so much of it comes down to confidence and your belief in being able to make plays. I think Jake is flying high right now. Number 6 is, I think, a little bit low. I can't think of, two other quarterbacks that are better than him. I would have him at 4, right? I can't think of 5 and 6 that would be better than him or ahead of him.
Feel free to take this however you want, whether it's wins, ultimately what they accomplish. But what are your expectations for BYU this season?
Listen, I don't know, because my expectations are always, maybe not my expectations, but my guess is always off. It's tough to say. I mean, a lot of the games, the one thing that we have to take into account is this year, a lot of these teams are going to show up now with a different mindset and how they prepare and how they play against this BYU team, right? I think last year everyone took us lightly. We were able to shock a lot of teams with our ability to make plays, especially down there in the, you know, in the fourth quarter stretch, and being able to maintain kind of that same high motor mentality, that same intensity throughout all four quarters. So this year, I don't think we're going to get that benefit of everyone underestimating what our capability is or what our ability is and talent is. So, you know, teams are going to play us a lot tougher, but on, like I've said, on the back end, you've got great talent. We've got a lot of returning starters that are going to feel that much more confident about their level of play and their ability to compete in this conference. So, you know, I think they're one of the top four teams in the conference, and I think that kind of maintains throughout the year.
Austin, let's talk BYU wide receivers. With the departure of Keelan Marion, there's a clear void. Probably felt more in the special teams aspect because he was so explosive, but it felt like he was slated to take on a much more significant role as a receiver with Darius Lassiter moving on and Keelan being able to step in there. Chase Roberts also can take up some of those catches. But how do you view the Keelan Marion departure in terms of how much that will impact what BYU does as a wide receiver core?
To be honest with you, I mean, Keelan is a phenomenal return specialist, phenomenal. And he always poses that that downfield threat that teams have to account for. But in terms of the drop-off in the wide receiver room and maybe the hole that needs to be filled, I may get in trouble for saying this. I don't think it's that big, to be honest with you, right? Like, I think they're perfectly fine. I think a lot of the guys that they have in there are going to kind of rise to the occasion and be able to fill that gap, if not even more so. Like, I think of guys like Parker Kingston, who's always been a young guy, and now he's got some of that vet type of mentality, that vet status, and is now hopefully going to be a bigger part of the offense. Chase hopefully gets a lot more targets. You know, I'm crossing my fingers that the offense kind of runs through him and being able to put him in different positions to ensure that he gets, you know, a certain amount of targets. And then you got guys like JoJo. You got guys like Haig. You know, some of these younger guys that are up and coming that are going to be given an opportunity. But I think they're perfectly capable of filling that void. I don't think there's going to be any drop off. Obviously, Fessy does a phenomenal job of preparing these guys and bringing these guys along and making sure that, you know, they're going to be game ready and they're going to be just as good, if not better, than the guys that were once there before them.
You were just talking about Chase Roberts. What does success for him look like this year? Because obviously, I think you all look at, you know, can he be a 1,000-yard receiver? I mean, those are all things he came real close to it last year. He was 150 yards shy of doing it last year. I don't think it's crazy to think that that is absolutely on the table for him this year, knowing how important he'll be with this offense.
Yeah, essentially it all comes down to how much Aaron Roderick and Fessy are wanting to get him the ball, right? I mean, he had one of the highest catch ratings last year. I think catching, you know, maybe about mid-70s of the targets that were thrown at him. So, you know, catching the ball is not his problem. It's just the amount of targets that he's seen. I definitely, my expectation for Chase is to be, you know, a first team Big 12 receiver, potential, you know, All-American honors, right? He has that capability. He has that big playability, especially down in the stretch. You know, I mean, the kid just makes plays, man. I'm praying that, his target numbers go up significantly this next year.
Austin Colley is with us on BYU Sports Nation. You mentioned that the BYU offense, you feel, is expected to take a significant uptick. We were just talking about LJ Martin and the run game and the revamped offensive line. What do you think LJ is capable of? I think if he stays healthy, and I mean just plays 10 games healthy, he could be a 1,000-yard rusher, Austin. Like, is that too crazy to think that this BYU offense with LJ Martin could have a 1,000-yard rusher?
No, not at all. I think just as you said, Spencer, I think it's dependent on whether he wants it and whether he's able to stay healthy, right? You know, the thing about running backs, man, you're going to get banged up, especially when you're going up against Big 12 talent. You're playing against bigger guys, especially in the box. And you've got to be – you got to have a mature approach to the game in terms of how you're taking care of your body as a running back. Like, you are going to get banged up. And that's why the recovery, what you do in the offseason to take care of your body, you know, flexibility, strength, you know, you have to get everything, every part of your game ready to be able to take on that beating. And I'm hoping he does that, right? And the other thing is I think it's going to come down to what yards he can get after contact, right? I think that's one area that LJ struggled with is really imposing his will on guys who want to tackle him and punishing at that last tackle point or contact point, right? But I definitely think he's capable, man. I mean, the kid's smooth. The kid's got great sudden quickness. I do think the pass game is going to help it out a lot. I think the pass game is going to be far better than what it was these past few years. And that's saying a lot because it was pretty darn good statistically. So I think the pass game is going to help that run game out a lot and open things up.
Austin, who behind Chase out of that really young and talented receiver group do you think is poised to take a big jump?
Yeah, I just got done saying I think Parker Kingston, man. I think I kind of see Parker as kind of like a Percy Harvin-esque, if you can remember him.
Oh, yeah. His
athletic ability, his explosiveness, man, like I think on the fly sweeps, I think putting him in the backfield some, getting him, you know, running routes out of the backfield, handing the ball off in the backfield, like the kid is just so darn explosive and fast. And then, you know, his route game's pretty darn good too. We just got to get him, you know, catching every ball that comes to him and getting that catch rate up.
Austin Colley on BYU Sports Nation. Okay, let's just throw this out there because we were talking about it in the opening segment. When you look at something like the NBA draft or even experiences you've had in the NFL, do you ever feel like the conspiracy theories have some actual merit to them, Austin? That things are rigged, that games, that draft lotteries, whatever it might be, have you ever felt like that is the truth?
Listen, I'm the guy that takes the I always take the middle. I'm sure some of it is. I'm sure some of it is true. I'm sure some of it is crazy. You know, I always play the devil's advocate in certain situations like this. I mean, to fuel the fire, the NBA, just like any other pro sports team, is a business, right? And being able to orchestrate so that the top player of the decade or the player that's fundamentally, you know, hopefully going to save NBA and its ratings and its market. To say that maybe there isn't a hand orchestrated in getting them to the correct place to ensure success and to ensure that the maximum number of jerseys are going to be sold. I mean, that's not too far of a stretch for me, right? It is a business. It's a dying league, given the viewership. Like, hasn't been a ton of viewership. Or there's been such a decline in viewership over the past few years. They need somebody to kind of take the ranks and bring some more eyes to it. So, you know, it's not that big of a stretch to think maybe there's some puppeteering going on behind the scenes, if you will.
Are you happy with said puppeteering, Lakers fan?
I don't watch basketball.
Hey, as a Lakers fan,
so
you
this,
can
this. Could very well get me interested in basketball because I do love Cooper Flagg and I'm a big Duke fan. So.
Okay. Hey, as a Laker fan, though, even LeBron James last night after it went down put out, like 10 in a row laughing emojis because he realized how ridiculous it was that Cooper Flagg went to the Mavs.
Yeah. I think LeBron's had his fair share of puppeteering in the background as well as for the league. So,
hey, you watch BYU basketball, though, because you text me about it.
I do. I do watch BYU
you're
basketball.
You're in on the Cougs.
Listen, I watch basketball. I don't watch NBA basketball.
Yeah.
I love college basketball. It's a different feel. You got kids freaking diving on the ground. If we could take NBA basketball and go back to 1990, I'd watch it all day. right? But now it's like, oh, I just, you know, basketball players are a little soft.
Austin Colley delivering the heat on BYU Sports Nation. Hey, we appreciate it, brother. And also, we made mention that you had recently had a baby, you and your wife. We wish you and your family the best and hope that your baby boy is doing well.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
Got it. Austin Colley on BYU Sports Nation.
All right, great stuff. If you miss any of our interviews, shows, or deep blues, you can find them on BYUSN.com, or you can download the BYU TV app to get all the BYU Sports Nation content anytime you want it on demand.
Well, we just spoke with Austin Colley. You might as well talk about another elite wide receiver, Puka Nacua. Where will he and other Cougars in the NFL be playing in international games this season? We'll tell you in headlines on BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jason Shepherd. And these are your Tuesday BYUSN headlines.
Yegor Demin is participating in the NBA Draft Combine this week in Chicago. Yesterday, they measured his height, wingspan, standing reach, and weight. His official measurements are as follows. In his bare feet, he is 6'8¼". 6'10¼" is his wingspan. 8'9½" is his standing reach. And he comes in weighing a robust 199.2 pounds. ESPN draft analyst Jonathan Givony added that Yegor measured, quote, a little taller than expected. Good for Yegor. Well done.
With the NBA lottery set, multiple publications updated their mock drafts, and here are where Yegor Demin lands in each of those. CBS Sports has him number 10 to Houston, ESPN at number 12 to the Chicago Bulls. Yahoo Sports with Yegor at number 14 to the Spurs, USA Today number 15 to Oklahoma City. Sports Illustrated has him going number 17 to the Timberwolves, and The Athletic number 18 to the Washington Wizards. Gross. The NBA draft will take place on June 25th and June 26th.
And if someone is not smart enough to take him and he's there at 21, the Utah Jazz will take him at 21.
Well, the Jazz will trade up, Shep.
There we go. I like the way you're thinking. BYU football got a commitment from a transfer defensive back from San Diego State yesterday. Obviously cannot mention his name. He previously started his career at Jackson State in 2022 when Deion Sanders was the head coach, and then followed Sanders to Colorado before transferring to SDSU. He logged two interceptions for Jackson State as a true freshman and then played in all 12 games last year at San Diego State, primarily on special teams. The redshirt junior has 2 years of eligibility remaining.
The NFL has announced which teams will play in the international games for the upcoming 2025 season. Notably, former BYU Cougars Puka Nacua and the LA Rams play the Jaguars in London, England. Then Tyler Allgeier and the Atlanta Falcons go head-to-head with Blake Freeland and the Indianapolis Colts in Berlin, Germany. Zach Wilson and the Miami Dolphins take on the Commanders in Madrid, Spain. How cool is that? Cougars playing in England, Germany, and Spain in NFL games.
International Cougars. I like it. BYU baseball hosts Utah tonight at Miller Park after the Cougars lost the series to the Utes in Salt Lake City back in April. BYU and Utah are both currently outside of the 12-team field for the Big 12 tournament, trying to work their way up this final week of the regular season. However, tonight's game does not count towards the conference standings. This is a non-conference matchup. BYU will look to even the season series tonight on BYU Radio. You can also watch on ESPN Plus at 8 Eastern.
Just beat Utah. BYU men's golf competing in the NCAA regionals in Reno, Nevada currently. Cougars played 7 holes yesterday, but play was suspended due to high winds. So BYU at that time were tied for third with West Virginia and Duke at 5 over par as a team through those 7 holes. They are currently finishing round 1 right now and will tee off in round 2 later this afternoon. A lot of golf in Reno today. After the break, where would all of you pick BYU football to finish in the Big 12 preseason poll? Answers to our question of the day next. This is BYU Sports Nation. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation live in Studio B. Our question of the day, where would you pick BYU football to finish in your own version of the Big 12 football preseason poll? Chris Manning on X says, I'd pick them second. joining Jason Shepard. Mm-hmm. He continues, Arizona State won last year, retained the majority of their team, and they beat BYU. I think it's ASU, BYU, in the conference championship game, but I think the media will pick BYU fourth behind ASU, Texas Tech, and Kansas State.
Hmm. Interesting.
Okay.
Okay. Ben underscore Peterson 4 on Instagram says second. So back-to-back second picks. Lost some talent, but kept most of it. No reason to believe BYU won't improve upon last year.
Okay. I don't dislike the idea of BYU showing up at number two, if that were the case, because it's fun to think about BYU being respected that way.
Sure.
But I am all in on BYU being undervalued and underrated. Does this school, does this athletic department not thrive in that mental state?
Yes, but I also think you don't want to always have to lean on that.
It just seems like they've had great success doing so.
There's nothing wrong with living up to the expectations, right?
Oh, man. That is tough.
And look, I think this team can do that. Look, I understand that's lofty if to come in at number two, but I think this team showed us last year what they have.
Yeah.
And yes, they've lost some pieces, but they've also added some really impressive talent to a group that is mostly back and was pretty good last year. So I don't think it's crazy to say that, look, you don't always have to be an underdog and over, you know, excel what everybody thought. Overachieve is the word I was thinking of. You can live up to expectations. And if they get number two, if that's what they land at, they've earned that.
Do you feel the same way about BYU basketball in that regard? Because expectations have never been that high.
Well, that's on another level.
Okay, so there is a limit.
That is on another planet right now.
There's a level, right?
We're talking.
Okay. There's a limit.
We're talking in the conversation. People are talking about them being a Final Four team.
Yeah, you're not ready to go there emotionally.
No, I'm going there. I just,
so it's different with football and basketball.
Well, yeah. I mean, everything is based on its own merits, right? Yeah. Its own set of circumstances.
I'm just clarifying. Okay. All right.
But again, hey, if they live up to expectations, then all more power to them.
At Burns is Burns on X says, why wouldn't you pick BYU 13th? It worked so very well for us last year. Basketball in 2023-24 was picked 13th, mm-hmm. and football was picked 13th. Men's basketball last year was picked 9th, I think. Yeah, 9th. But to his point, yeah, great. Throw BYU in at number 13.
Can you imagine if this league actually put them in the bottom half?
I kind of would love it. It would be hilarious. Like, yes, pick BYU 13.
It would be rigged.
Let's.
it would be rigged nice. Against BYU.
Nice.
If that were the case, to bring it all back together.
How great are the coaching changes in the Big 12 on the football side, though, with a bunch of guys going back, like Scott Frost back to UCF and Rich Rod back to West Virginia? Those teams are going to be picked in the bottom five. But it's fun to have those guys back with those
Getting
programs.
The band back together.
Yes.
That's right.
All right, good stuff. We'll wrap up today's show with our elite response of the day in terms of where you would put BYU in your preseason Big 12 football poll and who has earned today's rise and shout out. This is BYU Sports Nation. A lot of people doing good in the world, Jason.
BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back with our question of the day. Where would you pick BYU football to finish in the Big 12 preseason poll? I'm getting tons of flack, by the way, on social media for putting them forth from BYU fans. Like, what?
You getting any flack from anybody over at the SAB?
Maybe. Our elite voice of the day, presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated from @K_Goodster3 on X, who says, second, but would have them winning the Big 12 championship game. Okay, that's the next step, right? Getting to the championship.
Sure, absolutely. And BYU, I believe, will put itself in a position down the stretch to have that be a reality.
So excited. Let's go. Today's Rise and Shadow presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
How about this? We know how good AJ DeBonta is on the court, but how about what he's doing off the court?
Love
Humanitarian work in Jamaica for the Bob and Rita Marley Foundation, giving out socks and shoes. Look at that. How awesome is that?
Come on, AJ.
That's cool.
You're wondering why he's in Jamaica. He has Jamaican heritage.
Yes, of course.
So very, very cool. He also gave out a few ankle breakers.
Gonna need those shoes.
Yeah, we hope that young man's okay, both emotionally and physically. Our thanks to today's guest, Austin Colley.
All right, conversation continues 24/7 on X, Instagram, and Facebook.
For Jason, I'm Spencer. Shout out to Jason Walker from BYU Football 96. See you tomorrow. Go Cougs.